The Real Estate Revolution is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice. Please consult your trusted financial advisor, real estate professional, or attorney before making any real estate or financial decisions. Please remember, when following advice, your results may vary, and all information covered here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the hosts and guests consider important. It's a real estate revolution with the latest revolution. You get fun and the facts, you will keep coming back. It's time to live the life you choose. And now it's time for a power hour from America's trusted resource for everything real estate. Everything in the real estate industry is in a constant movement of change. It's a real estate revolution with your host, Victoria Riva De Nera. The Riva regulars, special guests, and your call-in comments. Welcome to the Real Estate Revolution.
Revolution, revolution, revolution.
Good evening and welcome to the Real Estate Revolution on New York's AM 1700 WRCR. We are live streaming on Periscope.tv, the RE Revolution, and also on Facebook, / Victoria RIVA. Call in and join the discussion today at 845-362-0013. I'm Victoria Riva De Nera, and I am here with my co-host, Philip Ferranda, today. How are you, Phil?
I'm great. I'm excited to talk about the subject matter. I've been chomping at the bit for quite a while about this.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I should be afraid then, right?
Nothing to be afraid of but fear itself.
All right. Well, as you know, we are here every single Wednesday to bring a real estate revolution of positive change for the greater good of our industry and consumers. And today's topic is millennials. So what are millennials? Do you know what the definition of a millennial is, Phil?
I believe a millennial is anyone born after 1980 or 82 or so, right up until about the late 90s.
See, you are so smart.
I try.
They were originally called Gen Y, and Gen Y was originally born 1975 to 1995, and that was replaced by the term millennial generation, which is somewhere around 1982 to about 2000, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about an age group from somewhere around 15 years old to about 35.
Right.
Yep. And there's no exact dates. I know a lot of people born after 2001, like some of your kids. And,
mm-hmm.
and I know, my daughter is definitely a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, they also want to be a part of the millennials. So like if you get any 13 or 14-year-olds, they classify themselves as millennials. They don't want to be classified as Gen Z.
Ah, well, I want to be classified as comfortable and wealthy.
Yeah, that would be good. And you know what they say? Gen Xers,
uh-huh.
which is exactly what you are,
yes.
will always say that same thing.
Yes.
Gen Xers are much more focused on money and power.
Mm-hmm.
But millennials are not. They're much more focused on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very interested in our environment. That's the good stuff.
Well, there's events that shaped every generation. Okay? So the events that shaped, for example, the World War II generation are things like polio
mm-hmm.
and World War II, the Great Depression.
And we're talking about baby boomers
mm-hmm.
there.
So baby boomers were affected by things like the pill, the Vietnam War, the resignation of Nixon, things like that. Gen X was affected greatly by TV shows, TV and media, the maturity of TV, and divorce.
That's correct.
Gen Xers are considered more self-reliant because
they were latchkey kids.
Yeah, they did not, exactly, they did not grow up in the Ozzie and Harriet stereotypical TV, Robert Young kind of father knows best environment.
Yeah.
So that is, as I turn my phone to silent, that is the...
Was that a dog barking?
It was. I'm a dog guy, so I ring as a
dog. Do you have a dog?
I have a rescued German Shepherd.
Oh, very nice. I had a German Shepherd growing up.
I would characterize as a Gen Z dog, just, you know, if you're keeping track.
Ah, so he was born after 2001.
Yes, he was. And if he weren't, that would be a pretty old dog. Millennials are shaped by things like the Internet. They grew up with the Internet. They're shaped by 9/11.
That's right.
So the thing about millennials is they are digital natives. Everyone else is considered a digital immigrant.
Hmm, that's an interesting term.
You like that
digital
term?
Digital immigrant.
A digital immigrant.
I like that. So many millennials are the offspring of the Gen Xers, and both baby boomers and Gen Xers like to complain about millennials. Mm-hmm. Millennials have been classified in a very negative stereotype. They're being called lazy and entitled, extending irresponsible years of their life. I personally think that we're all jealous of that fact. They're not getting married as early as we did as Gen Xers, definitely not as early as baby boomers. They're not starting families early, and they're not buying homes or other assets as much as or as quickly as baby boomers and Gen Xers did, because they entered the responsible years much quicker.
Yes, yes. So World War II generation, baby boomers got out of the gates to marriage and home ownership.
A lot of them married right out of high school.
Right, 18,
or right
19,
back from the war.
22 years old.
Yep.
I mean, to buy a home, especially in New York, at age 22, if you're not a trust fund baby, that's pretty impressive. So they're entering responsible adulthood, if you will, a little bit later. And I think that may be part of the rap.
That is correct.
That is used to tease millennials. And, of course, we'll get into today.
Yes.
Some of the stereotypes are mm-hmm. of millennials. There was a really funny meme on Facebook recently about the man bun and living in your parents' basement and essential oils and, you know, thinking you're going to kind of meditate your way into your living and all
uh-huh.
of that, while the rest of us are pulling our own weight and, you know, dealing with the realistic things. I would say that is an unkind characterization of millennials.
I think it's unkind, and I also don't think it's accurate. I think each generation started adulthood, the responsible part of adulthood, later than the generation before them.
Mm-hmm.
Baby boomers, like we said just before, they got married, you know, straight out of high school, or they went off to war, they came back, or at least they were in the service, they came back from that, and they got married and immediately started a family, bought a house, and really started the responsible adulthood.
Right.
Gen Xers postpone marriage a little bit further because
mm-hmm.
now all the baby boomers wanted their children to have that college education. It was much more important.
Mm-hmm.
So they postpone marriage into their mid-20s,
right.
You know, a lot of them, because they got out of college somewhere around 21 to 24, and maybe they took a year to get their career started, but then they, you know, they also jumped right in, bought that house, started their family, had their career. Millennials, on the other hand, we're seeing this, they figured out how to extend that one-year period. There's no rush to jump into that mundane career. They're not looking to jump into a marriage. They're really enjoying the youth of their adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm jealous of that sometimes. I go, wow, you know, they've got it right, and we are complaining about that. They've also,
mm-hmm.
remember, we just came out of the biggest financial downturn since the Depression.
Correct.
They're coming out of that as well.
Right.
So, like you said, unless they're a trust fund baby, it's very difficult to jump into a house. So, there's a combination of things happening here.
There is. And what's occurring now is that the stereotype of millennials, all right, the rendering of millennials, especially by those people who are teaching us about millennials in these demographic courses and, you know, continuing education, the media, and so
mm-hmm.
forth. What's happening to millennials now is actually no different than what happens to any generation that comes of age. So I'm going to read something to you.
Okay.
And this is...
You came prepared tonight.
I came prepared, and I came with something that will ring a bell, I think, if you're of a mindset like that. Now, here's what the guy said. The younger generation now loves luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, they show disrespect for elders, and love chatter in place of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their household. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents, chatter before company, gobble up dainties at the table, cross their legs, and tyrannize their teachers.
I know who said that.
Give it a shot.
Socrates.
Socrates said that.
I'm smart like you now.
And something like, in something like 420 BC.
Yes.
Okay.
Love that. I love that you brought that.
And here's what I would advise millennials when you feel your blood pressure boiling as you read about the stereotypes about millennials these days. There is no generation, in my opinion. Now, I'm 48, so I remember the early 70s. I remember when baby boomers were coming of age, as millennials are right now. And the generation, in my opinion, that got the most maligned in their 20s was without a doubt baby boomers.
Mm.
All right? And I will give you two examples. There is no character in modern media analogous to Meathead, Michael Stivic, in All in the Family.
Yes.
All right? Anybody under 20 years old in the 60s and 70s in major TV was rendered as a hippie.
That's
as
right.
Someone who was more interested in dropping out, getting stoned, protesting, draft dodgers, all of these things,
mm-hmm.
all right, which millennials don't have to put up with. They don't have to put up with that. They got other headaches, but I think baby boomers developed a thick skin. They embraced it, and that's what the advice I would give the millennials now.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can laugh all the way to the fountain of youth.
That's correct.
That's really what I would say.
Absolutely. Good point. Very good point. So the millennials is the largest of the generations, 83 million millennials today.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big crowd.
That's slightly larger than the baby boomers.
That's correct. 77 million
mm-hmm.
is what makes up baby boomers, and there's only 65 million Gen Xers.
Right, and that's why, and that's, by the way, why millennials are getting so much attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're getting so much attention. We have a caller.
We do. So let's go to our first caller.
Okay, hello.
Oh, hey guys, Dave Weinstein here.
Hey, David, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic.
So, David, would you identify with the Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Q? What are you, David? How do you characterize yourself?
I was born in 1973, so you tell me where I fall. I would say that I am sort of right on the cusp of the Facebook folks. About half my friends use Facebook, about half don't.
You're right in the wheelhouse of Gen X.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I never felt generationally particularly oriented. Honestly, I think that the baby boomers were fairly distinct, and the World War II folks are pretty distinct, but the rest of it blurs together somewhat for me, just personally, experientially.
Uh-huh.
But I couldn't resist your observation about Socrates. I'll take that as an opening and point out that I'm certain every generation does feel like the next one doesn't, it gets it better than the last to a certain degree.
Without a doubt.
But,
yes.
No,
Some things never change.
Right. I think that is. I would point out, however, that ancient Greece, that classical era in Greece, did fall. It fell to the Romans, and then classical Rome fell, and there was this thing called the Dark Ages. So societies do fall apart, and I'm not above thinking that these things can deteriorate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if you look at the long view, this country, America, has had such an incredible boom since the earliest days of its colonies through now with depressions and so forth, but we're still expanding and growing. So, for people with the ability to live and absorb luxury is a function of our modern time that's not necessarily guaranteed to last forever. So intergenerationally, perhaps, there's not much to look at, but over the long haul, all these people who are worried about work-life balance, might ultimately take away from the development of the country in the very long term.
Outstanding point. And the other side of that is that in the long-term growth of our republic, there have been huge depressions prior to the Great Depression. There was a depression in the late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
There have been panics. There have been bank failures. Capitalism is a boom-bust kind of thing. So, you have to take that. The dollar-cost averaging of growth will have in it, over the long term, a lot of declines. And I think probably the fall of civilization with technology being what it is now and science being what it is now, I don't think we're in for any dark ages anytime soon, provided that we don't blow up anybody.
I also want to make a point, though, too. Millennials are considered to be more civically engaged than other generations. Are you aware of that?
Uh-huh.
Okay, because the voting turnout of young adults almost doubled in 2008, in the 2008 primaries and also the caucuses compared to 2000. And there's been substantial youth turnout for all of our primaries moving forward.
Which bodes well for civilization.
Yes.
Because people that vote, people that get informed about the issues, people that are civically involved are going to have skin in the game in terms of how their society is raised. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that there is a very real concern about things like sustainability of the environment.
Yep.
And, you know, look, one of the biggest and most popular designations in real estate right now is green.
Mm-hmm.
Sustainable housing, green housing, these are not fads. This is how we're going to have to be able to build housing going forward.
Absolutely agree with you. And millennials do care about the environment, and they care more about issues than they do candidates. So they do have a lot of positive traits that we are not realizing, and in our Gen X cynicism here,
right,
we're trying to really knock them in. We shouldn't be doing that because they do have a lot to offer.
Correct.
It's always tempting to paint with a broad brushstroke, but as Phil points out, civic orientation is excellent, and the constant upheaval in our political system, in my mind, adds to the longevity of the United States. It's a good thing. Let the youth change things and try things and offer new points of view. And certainly politically this year, the youth vote has been central to almost every broadcast that I've seen. So they're a growing group. You can't ignore them politically. You can't ignore them in business. It's an important part of our economy.
I agree with that for sure. Yeah.
As long as they stay engaged, David. If they stay at home, they're going to be a factor in the worst way.
Certainly, certainly. I wonder how it'll be. We'll see. This is going to be a telling election for all sorts of reasons, but youth engagement will definitely be very telling, don't you think?
I agree.
Yep. Well, David, thank you very much for your participation in our show. We have another caller on the line. Caller, are you with us?
I am.
Thank you for joining us tonight. Do you have a question, or would you like to join the discussion here tonight?
This is
Brittany Alvarez.
Brittany Alvarez. Okay, so case in point. Brittany Alvarez is an agent with our firm. Right?
Ah.
And you're going to like this. Brittany is a millennial.
I had a feeling she would be a millennial.
I would hold her up as an example of a millennial who absolutely bucks the stereotypes. All right, we're talking about a married mother of two, a career woman, balances it all, phenomenal, responsible professional. All right.
Brittany, would you mind if we asked your age?
Sure. Go for it.
Okay.
We wouldn't mind at all.
This is where you tell us your age.
I'm 31.
That makes you right smack dab in the bullseye of the millennial generation?
Okay, so that's unlike the typical stereotype, it sounds if she already has two children at 31 that she was married and had her children in her 20s.
Well, a little more complicated than that. But,
it always is.
You know, been divorced and married for the second time, and I have a 10-year-old and an 18-month-old.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
That are both in my back seat while I am in the middle of showing clients home, who are also millennials at the moment.
Okay.
That's awesome. So my point was that you started earlier than most millennials, and that is exactly what the stereotype says, that millennials are waiting, and you did not do that. So we're...
Nope.
Right.
It's interesting.
And here's another emblematic thing of what she just said. She's showing houses right now,
mm-hmm.
and she's got a youngster with her.
Right.
Now, 20 years ago, if a real estate agent showed up with one of her children, you'd think, oh, well, you know, couldn't you hire a babysitter? This is unprofessional. Millennials have done a great job of breaking down the partitions between being able to earn a living and being able to integrate your living into your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, these are clients that she has a relationship with. They are their friends. I think used to be a babysitter for her and everything like that. But we're talking about someone, a generation, and Brittany's emblematic of this, of being able to break down these silly dividers, the silly do not enter signs between being able to earn a living and integrate your life into your livelihood. They are not the cubicle generation.
Mm-hmm.
They are not, I have a life at the office in a cubicle and I have a life at home. So this is good stuff.
Yeah, and I think millennials have done a phenomenal job in living real life,
mm-hmm.
and bringing everything together. Brittany, I'm going to ask you to just stay on hold for us for just a couple of minutes. We need to go to break, and we'll be right back to you.
Okay, sounds great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Revolution. Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage. They will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138. Or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
It's time for the revolution. The real estate solution. We saw you left confusion. Come join the revolution.
Okay, Brittany, are you still with us?
I am.
Awesome. Thank you for waiting for us. Phil, you want to take over from here?
Okay, so my remarks about, you know, breaking down the partitions between the cubicle and life, how does that strike you? Does that seem accurate to you, Brittany?
Oh, completely.
Gotcha.
Completely.
All right. So another thing that has come along with millennials has been, like, you know, not having to simply go to the office. You can work from anywhere. They have democratized technology, GoToMeeting, for example, Skyping, FaceTime, e-signatures. These are all things that have been brought to commerce by millennials. This is not something that baby boomers brought in. Baby boomers can take credit for many things. But to be able to get up in the morning, make a cup of coffee, and earn your living without burning a drop of gas by telecommuting, phone, fax, email, virtual meetings, and being able to be productive without killing a tree, without burning a pint of gas, this is stuff that was brought to millennials. And not only did they invent it, but they utilize it, and I think they're refining it as time goes by. Would you say that's a fairly accurate rendering?
Very accurate. I use all of those items on an everyday basis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said before, they have really done a very good job. You know, Gen Xers, you know, made the statement work hard, play hard famous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we work really hard and then we play really hard. It's two very separate things.
Right.
Where millennials didn't do that. Millennials said, why does it have to be separate? Why can't we bring it together?
Right.
I can be home and still work. I can be at work and still be connected to home, and I can still be playing, and I can still have fun, and I can dress down, and I can dress up, and I can do whatever I need to do to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's, you know, the kind of the integration of that sort of thing. Brittany, thank you very much. And you work in our Putnam office, as I recall. So you're doing stuff in Putnam County, Northern Westchester, as I recall, right?
And a lot in Southern Dutchess as well.
That's right. Yeah, you're in Southern. Hey.
Hey.
And you guys should have lunch. As we speak.
Very good. Well, it sounds like you're doing an awesome job. You keep up the good work, and thanks for calling.
Thank you very much for having me on. Have a great evening.
Thank you. You too. Okay, so one of the reasons that we have this topic here tonight is because I had the pleasure of meeting with Judy Networks, mm-hmm. who's on the call, on the line right now, patiently waiting. And the reason that this topic became in the forefront for us is because Judy is holding a very large event in White Plains over at Don Coquille on May 19th at beginning at 5 p.m. And the event is called Migrating Millennials from Smartphone to Smart Home.
I love that.
I love that too. She is really, really witty. She's awesome and she's on the line. Judy, are you with us?
Hi.
How are you tonight?
Well, I'm here at the Keller Williams office with Rob Shandley, and Tim Judge is here, and we just did Tony's presentation, which was pretty cool. So
awesome. So tell me about the event on May 19th, because that ties into our topic tonight.
Absolutely. And first, before I say anything, I want to thank you both for getting involved and supporting the event and the message, bringing the message out to your listeners.
Yes, and we will be there. WRCR will be live broadcasting that event on that day, and you have the pleasure of having me MC. That's a little scary, huh, Judy?
That's going to be really, really awesome, because in all the years that I've been doing this, I have not had that. So you are the first.
All right.
So it's pretty exciting. And we're going to have great people to interview. I have the mayor of White Plains on the panel, the mayor of New Rochelle, Tony Mazzulli, the commercial director for Keller Williams, and last night I have another person that you know very well, Sunny Vitage from Exit Realty Power.
Awesome.
And we have Elizabeth Noonan from Houlihan Lawrence, and we're going to be talking about migrating millennials. And
so, Judy, tell me how everyone can get tickets and what the cost is and how they can get involved in this.
Okay. So, do you have your link?
Well, the listeners do not have a link. So, can you tell us how they can get that link?
They could go to judynetworks.com, JUDYNETWORKS.com. And it's the first image that comes up on the website, and they could click on that, and it's going to take them to the event page with all of the information.
Awesome.
JudyNetworks.com. That's pretty easy to remember.
Very good. So anyone who would like to attend this event, again, it is on May 19th, beginning at 5 p.m., Don Coquille in White Plains. Go to judynetworks.com and get your ticket. Judy, thank you very much for calling in tonight. We will see you soon, and we have another caller on another line. Caller, are you with us?
This is Paul Oster from Better Qualified.
Hey, Paul Oster from Better Qualified. How are you tonight?
Excellent. How you doing?
Awesome. We're talking about millennials tonight, and I know that you are very well versed in this, especially with the internet safety that you teach, and you're also Better Qualified is an unbelievably great company.
Yes.
Working with business credit. Tell us what you would like to ask or join the discussion. I'm sorry.
I'll join the discussion, because
okay.
when you look at millennials and their credit scores, they're actually a little bit lower than Gen Xers and baby boomers, and there's a good news and bad news here. The good news is that they can raise their credit scores pretty quickly by just simply paying down their credit card balances. What they probably don't realize is that as soon as you go over about 30% of your utilization ratio, and that's the ratio between those balances and your credit card limits, as soon as you go over 30%, your scores start to drop. So right now, it looks like millennials are carrying about a 43% bank card utilization ratio, and that's simply not good. So this is really going to hurt them moving forward. You know, there's a thing coming in the credit industry. Fannie Mae is adopting this next month, and it's called trended credit data. And what trended credit data is going to look at is the previous 24 months payment history on all of your revolving accounts. And if you're what's considered a revolver, it's going to hurt you. You're going to be put in a different risk category, and you're going to wind up paying more for a mortgage. So millennials need to understand how this works, and, you know, quite simply, that they have to start paying down those bank card balances.
So you said that there was about a 43% credit that they're utilizing right now. What should it be?
It should be below 30%. And FICO has a designation of a high achiever, and that's for folks that keep their balances below 10%. And I know that's not always easy. But the problem here is what used to happen is if someone was considering getting a mortgage, if they spoke to a qualified loan officer, that loan officer would say, hey, you know, listen, Victoria, you should start paying down your credit card balances now because you would get a nice pop in your score. Now, that might still be true, but what's going to happen is they're going to look at this trended credit data and say, wait a second, for the past 18 months, they've only been paying their minimum payments. They're carrying 43% ratios. And over the past, you know, couple of months, they were much more aggressive in paying that down. And that's going to wind up hurting them.
So, Paul, there's a lot of talk about how millennials are affected by student debt. How does that factor into that 43%? Do you think they're going on spending sprees, or do you think some of that is just, you know, trying the cost of their education?
Yeah, so the student loans are installment contracts, and they're not directly affecting the utilization ratio. But what happens is they're carrying so much debt that they wind up putting, you know, more debt on credit cards because they simply don't have the cash flow to survive with that amount of debt in student loans.
Right.
So student loans are very powerful for credit. They're installment contracts, and they can actually help raise someone's credit scores very quickly. But believe me, one 30-day late payment on a student loan can be devastating to a young millennial who has what's considered a thin credit profile.
So while they don't directly affect that utilization ratio, you know, math being math, they still have to do what they need to do to rob Peter to pay Paul, to pay the rent, buy groceries, and, you know, the credit, available credit sometimes has to get used.
And millennials, they need to understand this, too. One of the good things that has happened with student loans is if it's a federally backed student loan, you can have it modified because, you know, the government realized these guys come out of school, they can't find jobs, you only have a six-month deferment period, so that's a blink of an eye. So what they can do is apply to have their loans modified, and it might result in principal reductions. It certainly result in lower monthly payments because it'll be based upon the amount of money they're making today. And if they didn't get the, you know, six-figure job right off the bat, they should know that there are programs that are out there that can help them.
That's really good information. I don't think anyone in the studio knew that information.
Yeah, Paul, can we have a play date?
We certainly can.
Yeah, I want him on the show all the time. We love Paul. He is such a wealth of information. Paul, can you walk us through that modification? If someone wanted to do that, how would they go about doing that? What's the first step?
Well, we can help them do it. So, you know, a lot of these programs are actually, we can point them in the right direction, and they become free. They just have to fill out the paperwork. So each individual, the cases are different, but if they contact us at Better Qualified, I will point them to the right government agency that will help them.
And how do they reach you?
Well, they can find us, you know, on the web at betterqualified.com, or they could call us at 888-533-8138.
Got it. So betterqualified.com, that's easy to remember.
Yep.
Very
and the
good.
Number the number is 888-533-8138.
Awesome. Paul, we're going to put you on hold. We have to go to break, and we just we want more information from you. So if you don't mind holding, we'll be back to you in just a couple of minutes.
I'll be here.
Great. Thank you.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage. They will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138. Or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
It's time for the revolution. The real estate solution. We saw view that confusion. Come join.
Okay, we're talking with Paul Oster of Better Qualified. And Paul, you've given us some valuable information on how student loans affect credit for millennials, how they can modify a student loan if it's federally backed. If we were talking with a 20-something, Gen Y, a millennial, what would maybe two or three solid pieces of advice be for a millennial who wants to establish credit and buy a home sometime soon? What are two or three solid things that I should tell them as a broker, or that you'd tell them as someone who is involved in the mortgage process?
Sure. So the millennials are actually, more reluctant to use numerous bank cards, although they're carrying higher balances. They don't use them, other groups have. So they have to understand that in order to build your credit, you do have to establish it and build it. And there are secured credit cards that are out there. Not all secured cards are created equally. So they have to make sure that the cards report to the three major credit bureaus, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, because there are some cards out there that say they will help you build your credit, but they're building it, the credit profile, through alternative bureaus, and that certainly wouldn't help you get a mortgage. So establish your credit early, use it wisely and responsibly, and realize that with a thin credit profile, again, if you go to a 30-day late payment, that happens if you fail to make a payment before the next due date. For a millennial, they might lose 60, 70 points, and that becomes a whole new ball game when you're talking about mortgages, not just getting approved, but, you're certainly going to pay a drastic increase in the risk-based tier pricing for a mortgage. If you go, 740 is now the magic number, believe it or not.
Right.
Anybody below a 740.
Paul, can I interrupt you real quick? Because we're referring to 60 points and 740. What we're talking about here in terms of a credit rating is something known as a FICO score.
Yes.
And that sort of should become part of their vocabulary. Their FICO score is, in fact, what the industry term is for their credit rating. And the FICO score is something that is reported by the three major credit bureaus that you referred to. And could you repeat the three major credit bureaus again, just so they are able to do their own homework on these things?
Sure. So it's Experian. TransUnion, and Equifax.
Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. So if they get a schlocky card from some retail outlet saying, hey, build your credit by spending money on this thing, but it does not report to TransUnion, Experian, or Equifax, what they're really doing is they're running they're going to the wrong gym. They're tuned into the wrong channel. What they want to do is establish their credit with like a bank card, a Visa card, a MasterCard, a revolving charge with a retailer that reports to TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. And the FICO score is the metric by which a credit rating is measured.
It's measured, yep.
Yeah, and Phil, it's important because in today's world, you literally have thousands of these consumer websites now, you know, like freecreditreport.com and Credit Karma. And unfortunately, not only is the information not very accurate and timely, they don't use FICO scores. So people get misled. You know, I speak to realtors all the time, and they say, oh, well, you know, Johnny, you know, has a 930 credit score. So if
that's not a FICO score.
Yeah, right. that's not a FICO score. So millennials need to make sure that they deal with professionals. You know, when you're talking about your credit, you know, I don't think the free route is the way to go. You need to work with professionals. You need to have reports from accredited credit reporting agencies. And it has to be a FICO score because anything else is simply not worth the paper or the screen
that it's printed on. So right. The FICO score is the SAT of credit.
Yeah. And the fee for that is not that expensive. So when you say that they're looking for free, they're really not saving all that much money because you can run a credit report for not so much money, and it's definitely worth it. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And so, you know, what I'd like to do is if anyone's listening and they'd like a free copy of their credit report, I obviously have to pay for it, but we'll give any of the listeners that call in tonight or contact you guys, I'll give them a free copy of a credit report that has a FICO score.
So if they go to betterqualified.com, what do they need to do? Say, hi, Paul?
They do. They can go to the website.
Say, Victoria or Phil sent you.
Yeah, we have a live chat button. You know, we can start the conversation with the live chat button. If they want to fill out the form, you know, they can contact us directly there. And we'll go ahead. And more importantly, it's what's on the report. The scores, you know, are obviously driven by the information. But again, the bureaus are just terrible at maintaining and updating this information. You know, our estimates are as high as 90% or more of the credit reports that we look at have false, inaccurate, unverifiable information.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I'm Jay Phillip. I have a brother, James P. My mother was Jean P. Our credit profiles had so much cross-pollination, it was ridiculous. And I might add, unrelated, but something that Paul referred to before, the chat box on a website like BetterQualified.com is without a doubt a millennial thumbprint.
Yes, it is.
On web pages.
Yes, it is.
Instant feedback.
Yep.
Yes, instant gratification. Very good. Paul, thank you so much for your participation in the show tonight. We always value your information.
Paul, please give my regards to Eric, another one of your fine colleagues.
I will, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
So Phil, TD Bank just recently did their own study, and the research found that half the millennials that they surveyed actually want to buy a home within the next 2 years. So the information that we just learned from Paul was priceless.
Absolutely. And millennials, interestingly enough, for all the nonsense about living in their parents' basements and everything like that, place more value on home ownership and the advice and assistance of a licensed real estate professional than any generation that came before them.
That is very true. And they really do respect the negotiation skill that's brought to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And they really don't expect the realtor to actually find them the house. They'll go out and look for the house themselves. They go on the internet. They know it better than most. They can find out all the information that they need, but then they do turn it over to the professional to do what we really should be doing.
Right. So here's an interesting analogy. The fear among many people would be that the internet, and I may have used this before, that the internet would suddenly make real estate agents go away because people like millennials can just get online and find real estate and they don't need us. But that's not really what our value is. Our value to the consumer is in 100 other things like negotiations, due diligence, advocacy, and so forth. So while we are no longer the gatekeeper of information, finding real estate online is not like buying something on Amazon. It's like buying something from the lumber yard. You still have to build it, and that's where the real estate professional comes in. And that's why millennials do understand that you know, you need a team.
Yes.
And that is to their credit.
And you have used that analogy before, and I love it because it really paints the picture of exactly what we do and exactly what they're and how they're approaching this. So the National Association of Realtors 2015 report on generational trends found that millennials make up the largest share of home buyers at 32%. And even more shocking is millennials make up 68% of the first-time home buyers. So they are definitely a force in our market.
Yeah, and I'm actually not shocked about that because I think in any market, the largest sector of first-time home buyers is going to be people that are of first-time home buying age,
that's
which is
correct.
20s and 30s.
Yeah,
so
that would be a good observation.
Yeah, so I bet 15, 20 years ago when I got my license in 96, the biggest generation buying real estate in 96 and 2000 was Gen X.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would only make sense. So, yeah, but you know what? Right now, the millennials have such a bad rap that they're lazy and living in their basements and they don't want to buy anything and they just want access to stuff. They don't want to own it. Not true. It's not true at all.
Not true. And it's about as accurate about millennials as Michael Stivic and Meathead was to the rest of the baby boomers. That is simply a convenient pop culture kind of generality that gets a lot of laughs, but it is not a demographic truth, nor is it going to remain so.
Well, look at the time. We are almost out of time here. This was a very, very quick hour. Time really does fly when you're having fun. So,
yeah.
Phil, how do we reach you?
Very simply put, jphillip.com, J-P-H-I-L-I-P.com is the company website. And interestingly enough, Victoria, if you go to that website, there may be a Can We Help You chat button.
Wow. That is really impressive.
Well,
you must
it.
Have some millennials that work with you.
We may have hired a few.
Yeah, they definitely inspired you. That's fantastic. We want to thank you for tuning into the Real Estate Revolution. I'm Victoria Rivadeneira. I can be reached at victoriariva.com where you can find all of my information and I'm very easy to contact. Thank you very much and we are here every Wednesday. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining in the revolution. Now you have the real estate solution. Every Wednesday night at 6, it's the program you should pick. Join us for the Revolution.
Thanks for joining the Real Estate Revolution with your host, Victoria Rivadeneira. We're live from New York every Wednesday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. for everything real estate right here on WRCR AM 1700 on air and simulcast on the web at WRCR.com. And we're streaming live on Periscope, Facebook, Meerkat, and YouTube. So come back every week for the Real Estate Revolution.